O God, our loving parent, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your children, and empower us all with the Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Wasn't feeling super well this week, and so I give thanks to my good friend and colleague, the Reverend Courtney Reedman Parker, for the sermon inspiration today. This morning we have fast-forwarded from the newborn in a manger, from the Magi following the voice of God, and the guidance of a star to discover God's very self, vulnerable and tiny. We fast forward to a 30-year-old man standing amongst a crowd of people at the Jordan, asking John to baptize them. We fast forward through the terrible twos and awkward adolescence to Jesus fully grown and postured towards his future, full of things unknown, before he begins his public ministry. But before that can begin, he gathers with others at the river, asking John to baptize him. And as Jesus comes out of the water, God's own voice comes down from the heavens that open up in all glory, naming and claiming Jesus as God's very own child. This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. A spectacular event that undoubtedly filled hearts with awe and deep faith, Jesus' baptism is supposed to be the moment where people get it, where we all get it. And yet, we don't, and they didn't. Even when God's own voice comes down from heaven declaring who and whose Jesus is, the people still don't get it. And we have trouble getting it too. Hearing what God is saying to us, to understand, to believe that what we're hearing is coming from God and not some other voice, not the voice of our own skepticism maybe, not the kind of voice that leads us away from seeking and hearing the truth, God's truth, and instead pulls us into hearing maybe what we want to hear or what we're conditioned to hear, which is often enough a voice of fear that protects us from, you know, the worst case scenario. These are the kind of false voices that keep us questioning who we are, despite knowing, really knowing, that God loves us. It keeps us questioning our value and worth, and keeps us fearful and draws us from God. But this isn't the voice in the gospel writer Matthew's account who draws close to the earth and to all life and proclaims Jesus as God's own Son. Now, some of you know, because I've been talking about it a lot, that I'm a fan of this movie, but I'm not sure how many of you after the Christmas break have seen Frozen 2. Did you guys see it? Yay! I loved that movie. It is the sequel to Frozen 1. Makes sense, right? Which infiltrated into the far reaches of popular culture a few years ago. And likely, if you know someone between the ages of 2 and 12, you've heard about Elsa and Anna and Olaf and Kristoff and Sven, right? You guys know these people. You may have heard the Grammy Award-winning song Let It Go by Idina Menzel more times than you thought was humanly possible. Am I right? Right. Suffice to say, Frozen 2 was the much-anticipated movie of the holiday season for our family, at least part of our family. I don't know who was looking forward to it more, my fully grown daughters or myself. I don't know who downloaded the soundtrack from Apple Music first, me or my daughters. The music, once again, does not disappoint. Disney-quality earworm songs that you'll undoubtedly hear on the radio if you don't spend time with kids, or inescapably everywhere and all the time if you do spend time with kids. But I have to tell you, some of these songs have so many great applications to life and our faith. Now, I don't have any spoilers here for those of you who are totally waiting to see that movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, don't worry. I'm not going to give anything away. But as the story begins, the characters, well, they're kind of like maybe like us. They're content enough with their lives. And they're in a calm and happy place in life, having just gone through some challenges. Things have sort of equaled out a bit. But one of the main characters, Queen Elsa, is sensing that there is something beyond contentedness, something calling, something niggling at the back of her mind. And she hears a voice, and she isn't sure what to think or feel. And finally, she responds to the voice she's been hearing through the way they always respond to everything in a Disney movie, by singing another Grammy Award-winning song, right, that's going to generate big bucks for Disney, by the same artist, Idina Menzel, and this song is called Into the Unknown. If you haven't already heard it on the radio, it's all the time. But it is a good song. I have to admit, I play it a lot. And there's some lyrics in it where she's fighting it, and she says, "You're not a voice." She can't quite determine what this voice is. Is it a voice of wisdom or of God? Or is it just something else that she's hearing? She says, "You're not a voice. You're just a ringing in my ear. And if I heard you, which I don't, I'm spoken for, I fear. I've had my adventure. I don't need something new. I'm afraid what I'd be risking if I followed you into the unknown." So Disney makes money for a reason. That is good wisdom. That's something that connects with all of us, right? Our intuition, this feeling of God, hearing God's voice. How do we know? It's relatable. As we struggle to listen and to hear and discern and respond to God's voice in our lives, how do we know? In our community of faith, in our world, not ever fully knowing right what is right in front of us. Because how do we ever know what awaits? This season after Epiphany is, after all, about new understandings and new creations, the revealing of God in the world, going from unknown to suddenly unmistakably known. It is a time to hear the ways in which God is doing a new thing in and through God's Son, Jesus, and in and through us too. Jesus' baptism is a new beginning, a second creation story. God comes into the world. God's voice names and claims Jesus as beloved. God's voice points to a new creation in and through Jesus, a new relationship in and through humanity. The way humanity understands who God is and what God is about to unfold in a brand new way. And new beginnings, they're exciting. But there's also a tentativeness, apprehension, and likely a lot of other emotions, thoughts and feelings that we have about what this new thing really is, and how it will impact us and the congregation. How might it change us? Not unlike the people gathered at the river with Jesus and John, we struggle to hear God's voice for what it really is. God speaking to us even. As people of God, we have a long, long history of God doing new things, of God creating new life, new ways of relationship, new ways of worship even, imagine that, to understand God and to one another, God revealing God's self through some pretty unlikely people, not least of whom, a helpless baby. If we have learned anything, it's that God is always up to something. And that is a good thing. Except when it's unknown or different or outside of our comfort zone. Because it is really nice, I have to say so myself, to be comfortable. When new things aren't on our terms, when we don't understand how it will look or what shape it will take, when it disrupts the way that we've become accustomed to doing and being, it's so much harder to get behind something new when we don't know what the new thing will be or how it will change us or what it will look like or worse, you know, how much will it cost? Elsa sings more of this song. She says, "Are you somewhere out there? Are you someone out there who's a little bit like me? Who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be? Don't you know there's a part of me that longs to go into the unknown? Are you out there? Do you know me? Can you feel me? Can you show me? Where are you going? Don't leave me alone. How do we follow you into the unknown?" Now, this isn't just some catchy kid song. Into the Unknown dives deep into the very world that we live in, into the relationships we have, the fears that we carry, our deepest longings to know and to be known, and the struggle we have in identifying who we are and how God is active in our lives, and trusting the voice of God that we hear calling us to new life. So are we listening? We are so adept, I am so adept, at drowning God's voice out with fear. And maybe that's why God's voice comes to us again and again and again as we sink beneath the waters, as we rise and emerge to the top, breathing in air like the first breath of a newborn baby. Over generations, over careers, over close and beloved relationships, over churches, over pastors, over people. God is relentless. God's voice follows us and draws us in and reassures us of who we are and whose we are and names us and claims us in the waters of our baptism as God's own beloved. Like the servant God calls God, calls in Isaiah, God says to us, "Thus says the Lord, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you." God is calling Israel to a new thing. God has plans and dreams for the Israelites that are so far beyond what they can dream or imagine for themselves. God reassures them that in the midst of feelings and circumstances that point to the unknown, that God is there. There is nothing too big or too unknown for God to handle. And God has big plans for us here at St. Mary's. God has plans for our own lives right now that we can't even dream or imagine, because what is unknown to us is already known to God. God is busy dreaming dreams and planning plans for us to unearth and reveal together as we pray and discern and as we talk with one another about God's future and about our future, and about the future of this parish here in Metchosin, and about God's presence with us here and now. And not unlike Jesus' own baptism, God's voice comes to us, and we often don't get it, or we fear what we will risk following God's voice into the unknown. And so God sends people into our midst to point to the one who is coming, people like you, and me, who will point to Jesus, God's beloved, the beloved who has been born into the world to mark a new relationship between God and God's people. Jesus, who like us is baptized with water and filled with the Holy Spirit and receives God's promise of the everlasting. But if there's anything we learn about God and who God is in and through Jesus and through the sacrament of baptism, if there's anything that we have learned, especially here at St. Mary's, is that we are all in this together. God creates humankind to be in community together. God calls us and names us and claims us as individuals, but we're always individuals in relation to a much larger body of Christ. And this extends beyond our families, or beyond this congregation, or the diocese, or even denominational affiliation, or religious affiliation, or non. The truth is that God is and has been revealing God's self and God's mission for the world, and in particular to this congregation, to us, all along. New relationships, new ways of being. God is constantly calling us into the unknown. As baptized people of God, God is doing a new thing in and through us. We can be assured of this. God's voice is revealing new life and possibilities for ministry in and through us, all of us, every single one of us. And no matter what happens, God is here with us, walking with us, guiding us on new paths, comforting us in our discomfort and fear, through our expectations and questions, when we are afraid or annoyed about what might come next, when we are unsure or overwhelmed. God is here. God is there, revealing new life, new ways of being, new ways of living God's mission. Because we are God's beloved. Amen.